In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The 23rd Psalm gives us an image of peace, comfort, and rest. It gives us an image of being taken care of and being provided for. We might see a young shepherd sitting on a hilltop overlooking the flock, playing songs on a pipe. Psalm 100 teaches that we are God's people and the sheep of his pasture. This is a great analogy. It's very nice. But in our daily lives, we know that life isn't always peaceful. It's not always comfortable. And there are times when it seems that there's no rest for the weary. Here on earth, we need to take care of and provide for ourselves and for others. We may be God's people, yes, we are, but God is not going to pay the bills. Sheep have been domesticated for thousands of years. They provide wool, milk, and meat. They were once used as sacrificial animals, and of course, they're still associated with Passover, Holy Week, and Easter. Sheep husbandry is one of the world's oldest professions, and it's hard work. Sheep can't take care of themselves. They need a shepherd, or they will die. Much of a shepherd's time is spent keeping the flock together, collecting up panicked strays to return them to the flock. Left to themselves, a flock might disperse in all directions and succumb to predators one by one. Sheep just don't defend themselves very effectively. They graze on grass all day long, and if they eat all the grass of a pasture, they don't know to move somewhere else. They'll starve. So the shepherd has to move them around. They need other things like medical and psychological care. A shepherd's life, far from civilization, can be very lonely. And a weary shepherd, no matter how tired, knows that he cannot rest. Again, it's hard work. A lot of prominent figures in Holy Scripture were shepherds. For sure, the patriarchs Abraham and Jacob. There was Moses, King David, various prophets. So it's not at all surprising that the Bible uses pastoral imagery to describe our relationship with God. Even Jesus is both the Good Shepherd and the Lamb of God. I'm certain that Psalm 23 was intended to be read along with Psalm 22. The contrasts give us a lot to think about. Psalm 22 begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, I cry out by day, but you don't answer. In times of trouble, we might wonder, where is our good shepherd? Has a sleeping God allowed wolves to come into the sheepfold? But Psalm 23 tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. And with all of the meaning of the word shepherd, it means that God is always present. Psalm 22, in times of trouble, we might wonder, Is this misery part of God's path of righteousness? How can all that's happening be part of God's promises? But in Psalm 23, we read, God revives and restores my soul. Instead of letting me follow my own path, which would lead to my destruction, he leads me on the right path, the path of justice. God keeps his promises for the sake of his reputation, for the sake of his name. In times of frustration, we might wonder, how could God let this happen? But in Psalm 23, we read, God knows that I don't see very well. God knows that alone, by myself, in a dark valley, I might stumble over stones, I might be frightened by shadows, and I might go running off in a panic. But Psalm 23 says that I don't need to fear shadows or predators or other evil things, because God is with me. As the Good Shepherd, God even carries a club to beat away predators. He carries a shepherd's crook so that if I stray off, he can grab me and pull me back into the flock. I'm glad, and I have to be comforted to know that God will do this for me. In times of hopelessness, we might wonder, is this really the best world that God could come up with? Does God really heal? And why hasn't he healed me? In Psalm 23, we read, God prepares a great feast for me in the presence of a hostile world. God feeds me just as Jesus fed the 5,000. God heals me in body, mind, and soul, preparing me to be a holy temple, a dwelling place for his real presence. God gives me more than I need. In times of emptiness, we can only pray and have faith that God's promises will be kept. In Psalm 23, God says that because God is my shepherd, his goodness, his steadfast love, and his mercy shall be with me now in this life, and that I will go to be with him in his house forever. Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22 for a reason. It's God's assurance to us that the Good Shepherd is always present for his sheep. He doesn't take naps. When Psalm 22 asks, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 23 quickly answers, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can continue this beautiful pastoral imagery on a rather lower level, since clergy are sometimes called pastors, and bishops very often carry a shepherd's crook. Bishop Scott Benhaze actually did use a real shepherd's crook as his crozier. But Joe and I and Erwin can tell you that ordination doesn't make us equal to God. In fact, it doesn't get us that much closer. It certainly doesn't make us better than anyone else. While we might pray that we could be good or even awesome shepherds, as human beings, we're going to fall short of that. The collect reminds us that God knows what we need. God knows that the sheep of St. Paul's Augusta are looking for a shepherd. We've all been praying that the search committee will be inspired by God, will be empowered by God to identify a faithful, compassionate shepherd, a pastor, to lead and guide us as God's agent here on earth. We've been praying that God will send us a shepherd of deep faith and great love for Jesus. We've been praying that God will send us a true leader who will keep the flock together and who will help us grow this flock. For sure, let these and other prayers continue. We all have different expectations of that shepherd, and we have to remember that nobody is going to meet all of those expectations. Think back to the Bible. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, God incarnate here on earth, didn't meet everybody's expectations, right? So is our new rector going to meet everybody's expectations? I think not. There are going to be times of disagreement. And so look at your bulletin and take a look at the first sentence of today's lesson from Jeremiah. Folks, if we quote that sentence at all, we should do it sparingly with our new rector. Looking at today's gospel lesson, we need to be mindful that everyone needs some time away from the physical and mental stress of daily life. God doesn't need to rest. God doesn't need to sleep. But we as human beings need some time away, or there's burnout. Let's be absolutely sure going into this that we provide all of that for our new shepherd. Yeah, it didn't work out very well for Jesus and the apostles in today's lesson, but it will work here at St. Paul's if we keep our focus on the big things, which includes faith, love for Jesus and each other, and a focus on spiritual growth. Amen.